So good to see all the robust greeting happening and all the love. It's good to be here with you this morning. So today, as Tim mentioned, we are beginning a six-week series on Sabbath rest. I think it's a good time to talk about rest. It's a good time for our church to talk about rest and what it means to experience Sabbath rest. It's really of particular interest to me. You know, I spent probably the first part of my early Christianhood, I guess, when I first became a believer, I remember thinking to myself and being very frustrated with knowing the Ten Commandments, but never really seeing any attention in my Christian world, the churches I was attending, no attention really given to the Fourth Commandment. It seemed like, and I really wondered this, should we just call it the Nine Commandments? Because do we just worry about nine of the commandments, but the other one is just cast off now? And that concerned me, because we certainly pay a lot of attention to all the others, but this one seems to have slipped off. And I understand there are theological reasons that people use for that, I understand that, but at the same time, I think it's worth considering. Now, when I was growing up, it was easier growing up in the 60s and 70s because everything was closed on Sunday. So it was a little easier to have that in front of you, to always honor the Sabbath day. At least legalistically, you couldn't go shopping. You know, there were a lot of things you couldn't do. And in my house, my dad didn't let us go out to eat or anything like that. So there was an adherence to the Sabbath day, to at least on Sunday. Some of you might even know, do you ever see drugstores that had certain aisles roped off on Sunday? So they sold only the things of necessity that they deemed necessary, and then all the other things were roped off. You couldn't buy them on Sundays. But now, it seems like our culture has kind of grown, or I should say, devolved, to just kind of disregard these laws completely. What were called the blue laws, that our culture has kind of come to this place to say that there's no need to follow the rules of some ancient book, some ancient god, or any religion that's going to demand that we limit our work, our business, or our recreation. We could decide that for ourselves. We're autonomous beings, and this way of thinking, though, has even come into Christianity. It's been Christianized. And we've kind of cast off. We all go to church on a certain day, but we really haven't emphasized. Now, I know some of you have, but overall, at least in my experience, Christianity has not emphasized adherence or some type of Sabbath rest. But if Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, I think we need to take that to heart. That this isn't some legalistic list of things to do or don't do. It's something that our Lord has given us. And Tim mentioned this a few weeks ago. The commandments of God are given to us because God loves us. So I think it's worth seeing, what does he love about us? What is he doing here with this fourth commandment? The thing we're going to look at today, now we got 6 weeks to preach on this. I'm pretty much going to look at the problem. Why we are prone to abuse or to cast off the Sabbath rest. And as one, myself, who finds it difficult to really rest, the prep for this sermon has been really challenging. It's been very convicting to me, but it's also been greatly encouraging, and I hope it is for you as well. As I read in some of the older commentaries, there's one on Deuteronomy by a guy named Jeffrey Tighe. And Jeffrey Tighe says that observing the Sabbath is the quintessential expression of loyalty to God. John Calvin, he said, it was a general expression of God's worship when they rested on the seventh day. Now think back to what Michael just was talking about with worship. That worship is a dialogue with God, that there's something happening here between us and God. And this gives us a hint as to what is happening with the Sabbath rest. That it is a time for worship, and that worship comes through a time of dialogue with our Lord, with our Creator. So we're going to look at the book of Jeremiah. Primarily, let's see, we're in chapter 17 here, and what do we have? We have 19 through 28, is that right? 27? Doesn't go to 28, okay. So, yeah, we're going to look at primarily 19 through 23, I believe, but I'm going to read through to the rest of the chapter, through 27. So a little background on Jeremiah. Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet. He was called during the reign of Judah after, now the kingdom of Israel was divided. After the reign of David, after the reign of Solomon, then the kingdom of Israel divided into the north and the south. And the northern kingdom was conquered in 722 BC. And then all that was left of God's people was the southern kingdom, what was called Judah. And it was in this kingdom that Jeremiah was called to prophesy. He, along with who else was it? It was Ezekiel, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. There we go. So, but Jeremiah here is being called by God to tell the people about their violation of the Sabbath. So we're going to look at chapter 17, verses 19 through 27. Here we go. Thus said the Lord to me, go and stand in the people's gate by which the kings of Judah enter and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take care for the sake of your lives and do not bear a burden on the Sabbath day or bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. And do not carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day or do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy, as I commanded your fathers. Yet they did not listen to or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck that they might not hear and receive instruction. Verse 24, but if you listen to me, declares the Lord, and bring in no burden by the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy and do no work on it, then there shall enter by the gates of this city kings and princes who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their officials, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall be inhabited forever. And people shall come from the cities of Judah and the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the Shephelah, from the hill country, from the Negeb, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and frankincense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. This will be a great blessing. Verse 27, but if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy and not to bear a burden and enter by the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem and shall not be quenched. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, encourage us this morning. But I ask that your Holy Spirit would also probe our hearts. We know, as Jeremiah said, our hearts are deceitful and desperately sick. We know that we are prone to wander, Lord. And we know that we have many things in this world that pull us away from you. Lord, draw us back to you this morning. Help us, Lord, to cast off our burdens. Help us to rest in you. And Lord, help us to come humbly in repentance, but in joy, knowing that you are good and that you love us and that you care for us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what is God telling Jeremiah to do? What is he saying through the prophet? So the first thing he does, he tells Jeremiah, he says, go to stand at the people's gate by the king's gate, enter and by where they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem had walls around it, okay, and the only way you can get in and get out was through the gates. And he's saying, go not only to the people's gate, but go to all the gates where everybody comes in. So this is a message for everybody, not just to the king, but to everybody. And he says this, he starts off with this message, take care for the sake of your lives. What Jeremiah was about to say here was really important. It was a matter of life and death. So what were the people doing that was so wrong? Well, we see in the end of verse 21, and do not bear a burden on the Sabbath day or bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. And don't carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy. So the text shows the bearing or carrying a burden on the Sabbath day was not honoring to God and not part of observing the Sabbath. Is that kind of confusing? It is for me. Because I don't know what it really means by carrying a burden. Were they taking out their trash? What were they doing? I don't know. But there is a way we can know in Nehemiah. So Nehemiah was appointed to go back and build the walls. After the southern kingdom was destroyed and later on, as time went on, Nehemiah was sent by God to build the walls of Jerusalem. So even though it was after Jeremiah, it's actually earlier in your Bible. And it's in page 481. So Nehemiah, after he built the walls and he called the people back and they were coming back, he says this in verse 15. He says, in those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on the day when they sold food. Tyrians also, who lived in the city, brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath day to the people of Judah in Jerusalem itself. Then I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this evil thing that you're doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers act in this way? Did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Now you're bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Wow. So first of all, we see some pretty strict words there regarding Sabbath, profaning the Sabbath. But it also opens our eyes maybe to see what was going on. They were carrying burdens or loads of grapes, wine. They were making wine. They were bringing in figs, fish, goods. Doesn't seem all that bad, does it? I mean, they were doing business. They were doing what you and I do. They were trying to earn a living. They were trying to get ahead, make the most of an opportunity. They were trying to provide for their household. They were raking leaves, repairing fences, painting, doing the piles of laundry that build up over the week, sprucing up the yard. They were getting things done. But they were also sinning by breaking the Sabbath law, right? They were breaking the Sabbath law. And we know that on the surface, there's always a heart issue in our disobedience, isn't there? Jesus made that clear to us when he was teaching. He said, you say you don't murder? Good for you. But do you hate? Are you angry with your brother? You say you don't commit adultery? Good for you. But do you look at someone with lust? Then you've already done it in your heart. Jesus helped us to get to the bottom of the problem, to get to the base, to see what's happening. So the very simple fact that they are doing things that we don't see as harmful on the Sabbath day doesn't reveal what's going on in their heart. And I would say the same for us. So what was at the heart of this disobedience, and why was this sin so systemic and so central to Israel's relationship to the Lord? You notice he said it to everyone. I think we could find the answer to this in Deuteronomy 8. It's great when the Bible provides answers for us. It's interesting that the Lord warned the Israelites of what might happen when they come into a time in their promised land. Excuse me. Now, I don't have a page number on this, but it's Deuteronomy 8. Thank you. 180? Thank you. 180. Verse 11 is where we're going to start. This is what our Lord said to the Israelites in the wilderness. Take care. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, And when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God. The Lord your God who, remember, brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers didn't even know, that he might humble you and test you to do good in the end. Now listen to this. Beware lest you say in your heart, does this sound familiar? My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You should remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, his relationship with you, that he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Why was it wrong to do business, to do work on the Sabbath? Because it was evidence, it was the indicator of their heart that they forgot their Lord and turned to trust in their own abilities, to trust in their own hands. Remember that quote from earlier, observing the Sabbath is the quintessential expression of loyalty to God. It's an expression of our worship to God. And what is worship? It's our dialogue with God. It is hearing from him. It's responding to him. It's him asking us to respond to him. It's our relationship with God. God is saying to stop working on this day and trust me, because I'm the one who sustains you. I'm the one who gives you life and the power to prosper. They forgot the Lord who delivered them, who brought them into the land and made them flourish. They looked around at what they had, and their deceitful hearts led them to believe that they made their own success. They made their own prosperity. And everything they were doing depended solely on them. Brothers and sisters, we too need to be careful of that, don't we? We too need to be careful of this in the midst of our culture. This is one of the greatest sins, I believe, that we have made ourselves prosperous. I'm sorry, to believe that we have made ourselves prosperous, that we have made ourselves successful. It's also easy to believe if we look around only at ourselves. It is easy to fall into that, isn't it? It's easy to look at somebody and say, look what you did, to look back at what I did and say, great job. And you get encouragement from others. That's a good thing. But it's easy to start believing that this is because of me. And now when our hearts are turned in that direction, then we're left with nothing but to work harder. Because who's it up to? It's up to me. And when I feel like I'm drowning, I fight and I work harder. Because the only one that's going to save me is me. There's nobody else around. And I work harder. I worry more. Because am I going to be able to get all this done? Am I going to be able to do all this? And then I rest less. The bottom line is that when I believe that my success is totally dependent on me, and that the only ones I'm trying to please are me and those around me, then I have no reason to draw near to God. No reason to worship him. I have no reason to seek him in prayer, because I believe that I no longer need him. I might not say that out loud. But once again, it's about the heart, isn't it? In essence, I am my own God. And that would be termed idolatry. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you say, I've heard and even wondered this in the past, what if I love what I do? Why is it so wrong to do something I love on the Sabbath? I mean, in fact, my work is my rest. It's what I enjoy doing. I'm energized when I work. And I can relate to this, by the way. And I bet many of you can too. I don't hate being here working. I don't mind, you know, I really enjoy it sometimes. And I really enjoy doing hard work here sometimes. It's really energizing. And there are other jobs I've done that I found that I wanted to get back and start doing because it was just rewarding, the feeling of working hard. But the thing is, the Sabbath rest that God is calling us to, the Sabbath day was given to us, but it's not all about us. The Sabbath rest that God is calling us to is not just about me. It's not just about you. Remember, I said that God's commands, and Tim said God's commands are because he loves us. This fourth commandment is not simply. Now, there's other aspects of the fourth commandment, and you'll hear about these in the coming weeks. But one thing I want to focus on today is it's not simply about keeping us from doing certain things, but it's also about relationship. It's about restoration. So, when I'm sure most of you, or a lot of you, have some designated day. Couples have date nights. We try to do that. Sometimes we have family nights. We just went on vacation. That was family week. And one of the questions my wife asked me when we were going, it's just kind of a reflection of my own sin, are you bringing work with you? Now, honestly, because of this study, and I was working on this sermon, I'm like, no, actually, I'm not this time. And it was really a joy, honestly. It was, you know, there were times I just kept my phone down when we were at the beach. That was a good week, but that's not every week for me. But what if, let's just say you have time with your daughter, your son, your friend, your wife, your girlfriend, your family. And let's say you go and you guys go out for a dinner and you bring your laptop and you set it up because you love doing your work, right? You love your work. It's energizing and refreshing, right? And they say, what are you doing? Just doing a little work? Go ahead, talk. We do that. We do that. When we place, and what happens then is we're really placing our work over our relationship. I wouldn't dare, and my wife wouldn't dare, take our laptop with us on a date night. Why? Well, because we like each other. We love each other, but we also like each other, and we enjoy it. I look forward to that time when I have nothing going on, and we could sit down and have a really good conversation. You know, no kids, it's just me and her, and we can just chat. And we can just talk, and we can enjoy a good meal. And hopefully the phone doesn't ring. But we have a good time together. And it brings us together like nothing else sometimes. It's the same thing with our friends. We designate those times to grow together, to grow in relationship together. How much different is the Sabbath rest than that? This is a time when God is calling us to enjoy Him. When he's calling us to rest in him, but not for the purpose of only resting, but for the purpose of being with him. For the purpose of knowing him better. To reflect on his creation. To reflect on his word. To respond. To listen to him. Not with my iPhone. Not with my laptop. And honestly, I struggle so much with that. It's really kind of embarrassing that I'm preaching this sermon, because I am not a good model of that. But I believe God's using this. He's using it in my life, and I pray that he's using it in our lives as we move forward and learn how to commune with our Lord, with our God. See, it's easy to get sucked into this stuff that we're talking about because everything our world has to offer, we like stuff. We like fame. We like popularity. We like money. But really, all this world has to offer us, when you break it down, is popularity and stuff. But our Lord has so much more. That's something I think I could say, but we really have to think about. It's something we really have to meditate on, that our Lord really has so much more. A song we sang, Jesus, I Come. Think about the burdens that we carry when we focus on ourselves as being the source of our prosperity, the source of all of our success. When we focus on that, we bring burdens. We have burdens. We're carrying these burdens all over the place. The burdens of bondage, of sorrow, shameful failure and loss, unrest and arrogant pride, fear and dread of the tomb. Jesus takes all those on for us. He takes every single one of those on for us. And the great thing is, if we really get this, if I would just really get this, I could cast these things on him. I could cast these things on him, give them to him freely, boldly, because he tells me to. And then I can rest. And then I can take time with my Lord because I know he has me. There's no amount of work, no salary, no housework worth forfeiting a deep, intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, the one who takes on all of our burdens, the one who has taken on all of our burdens to himself so that we could come to him. The one who truly loves us and calls us out of the rat race of self-reliance and pleasing others and trying to get ahead. One of the main points of this Sabbath day rest is to make it a day for the Lord, a day when we can rest in him and enjoy him and his creation. So we can, and we ought to. We ought to take time. And he calls us to be fully present. To be fully present. Why? Because he loves us. And he wants us to know him. And he wants us to give ourselves to him completely. And when we take that time away, we are trusting him to prosper us. We're trusting him to give us what we need because he will and he is able. Brothers and sisters, we've heard it, we've heard it read, and we've sung it. Jesus calls us. He tells us, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Let us learn together to rest in the Lord and lay our burdens down. Amen.